Steve, thanks very much. It's us. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. And on the line with us is Chip Kidd, one of my favorite writers. Chip is appearing here in town at Printers Row Lit Fest this upcoming Saturday the 11th at the Harold Washington Library Center in the multi-purpose room. He'll be there from 11 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. Chip, you couldn't do the whole hour? Come on, what's wrong?
No, I just do what they tell me.
I don't think you should duck out early, Chip. Give them the hour. That's what they're there to see.
I'm happy to give them the hour.
I have to tell you, I've never spoken to you before, and I was just telling Wendy, when you write a book, you write the definitive book. I have your Batman books about Batman collectibles and art, and boy, mm-hmm. they are just stunning to look at.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I am a little bit more stunned with your artwork. The book jacket.
Oh, well, thank you.
I am not a collectible like Bill is, although I saw him admiring some of the figures you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think I didn't read the collectible books, but I do. You're known for your book jacket art, too.
Yes. I mean, I would say in general, I'm probably better known for that, but... For the book jacket art, yes.
You've done all right for yourself. Why did you get into this line of work, Chip? What was going on as a child that you decided, I want to go into this type of work?
Well, I knew I wanted to do something creative, and I wasn't quite sure what. I mean, I'm also like a big ham, and I was thinking about like theater or music or something like that. But basically, I decided to go to Penn State University. I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, and I ended up majoring in graphic design there. There was something about that that just clicked with me, or the other way around, or what have you. And then once I sort of like made that decision, I was very pragmatic about it. It's like, I'm going to study graphic design, and then I knew I wanted to go to New York.
Yeah.
You know, like as so many people do. And so from there, it was the fall of 1986, and I went to New York with my portfolio, and I sort of hit the pavement and did a ton of interviews, and it wasn't really completely what I had in mind, but the first substantial job I was offered was at Knopf Publishing to be assistant to the art director for the book covers. And I thought, you know, let's give this a shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, it's worked out well.
It'll be 30 years this October.
Congratulations. That's great.
Same job.
Several of your projects have revolved around Batman. What do you think it is about Batman, about that particular character, that we, not just in America, but throughout the world, just love this character so much? Why do you think that is?
I get this question a lot, and I sort of don't know how to answer it without just kind of blathering on and on and on and on. I think there's something about the character that resonates with the public at large, and I think it's this, you know, obviously it's an escapist fantasy, and it's escapist fantasy that involves being extremely rich, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a desire to, make your own rules, do things the way you think they ought to be done, and not, frankly, be answerable to anybody else, really, except your own conscience. But then there's all the obvious aesthetic trappings of the costume and all the gadgets and the villains are so great. Some people argue that the villains are more interesting than Batman is, but I don't necessarily agree with that. But then you have the storytellers, the people who are able to tell these great stories with this character that you know resonate with a lot of people.
Was Batman the one whose parents were killed right in front of him?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
And then you also have the other kind of mysticism of him is that so much of the action takes place at night. It's almost a romantic background to his adventures, wouldn't you think?
Yes, and then there's also, I get too, psychological about it, but there's the duality, the double life, and you know, pretending to be a certain kind of person by day and then turn into a, you know, this the different creature at night. I think that's a very male thing,
Yeah. Frankly.
So, you know, I do think it a lot of it has to do with how well the stories are told and how well they're depicted, whether it's on in a comic book or a cartoon or the, you know, obviously the movies. I think a lot of incredibly talented people have really nailed it in all of these various media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unlike, say, the Lone Ranger, they just haven't been able to make that character relevant to a popular audience. And they keep trying, and it doesn't work. Now, that's like subject for a whole other show, but somehow Batman continues to resonate.
Yep.
Chip Kidd on the line with us. He's going to be over at the Printers Row Lit Fest at the Harold Washington Library Center. And you're there this Saturday, the 11th, from 11 a.m. to 11:45. Which Batman do you think is your favorite?
Oh, man. By default, I just go way back to the beginning to the first couple of stories by Bob Kane and Bill Finger in 1939.
Yeah.
And that's Detective 27 up through, 32 or 33. And that's getting very, very geeky. I think Bruce Timm's Batman the Animated Series is absolutely marvelous, and arguably those are the best Batman films, I would say.
Yeah.
Overall, and of course Frank Miller's Dark Knight and Alan Moore's the Killing Joke and of course Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli's Batman Year One. That for a contemporary story, that's probably would be my favorite, the default one.
You can go to chipkidd.com. I'm also looking at the book jacket art on Batman The Dark Knight Strikes Again, and what a cool looking eye of Batman. Were you really worried that people wouldn't recognize that as Batman?
I wasn't worried. DC Comics was worried. The funny thing with that cover was Frank asked me to redesign Dark Knight Returns, which is, you know, as a fan, that was simultaneously totally exciting and completely intimidating. But that also meant designing the hardcover first edition for the sequel, The Strikes Again. And DC Comics basically said to him, okay, if you want Chip to do it, I hate to refer to myself in the third person, but if you want him to do it, then you have to let him do it and let him do his thing. And so I did, and reduced it to the eye for the Strikes Again. And he loved it. And DC didn't, because they're like, wait a minute, where did Batman go? You know, we just have an eye here. And so then the whole thing flipped around, and Frank had to argue to them that I did my thing and that they really needed to go with it. He really fought for it.
Chip, we want to talk to you also about one of your newer books about Charles Schulz, The Art of Peanuts. Can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
Excellent. Chip Kidd is our guest. If you have any questions or comments, we're 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Chip Kidd, a great writer, fantastic graphic designer, has written dozens of books, each of them fantastic. He's appearing at the Printers Row Lit Fest this upcoming Saturday in the Harold Washington Library Center's multi-purpose room. Starts at 11, ends at 11:45. Go to chipkidd.com or printersrowlitfest.org. All the information is there. Chip, we were just playing the theme from Peanuts. You wrote this book, Only What's Necessary, Charles M. Schulz and the Art of Peanuts. Tell us something about Charles M. Schulz that we might not know.
Oh, man, that's a really good question. Wow. Well, his dog when he was a kid was actually named Spike, not Snoopy. And he didn't create a character called, called Spike till relatively late in the series of Peanuts.
Snoopy's brother, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Franklin, the African American character that that was introduced in the late 60s, he was very hesitant to do that, and it was a suggestion from a fan, a self-proclaimed housewife from Santa Barbara, California, who thought that it would help the national zeitgeist in the wake of the murder of Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And he appreciated the suggestion, but he didn't really feel like he was up to it. And in the book, there's this correspondence that's never been published before between he and her. And she, over the course of several letters, convinces him to give it a shot. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. That was one thing that I discovered when I was researching the book.
I don't think people realize when it comes to Charlie Brown and to Peanuts that they were kind of innovators in terms of little kids speaking like adults. I know now with The Simpsons, and you can go on
South
and on.
Park.
South Park, every show that has
sure.
kids now, they're saying things in an adult way. But it was really Peanuts and Charles M. Schulz that started that trend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And he did it before Peanuts existed. He was doing a strip that was only appearing in a small newspaper in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And it was called Little Folks. And that's when he started experimenting with that concept. And the characters were even more simplified than they later became. But they're these little kids, talking about, very adult things.
The psychiatry sign, for gosh sakes. When little kids, right. That was the first time I had to ask my mom, what does psychiatry mean? And yeah. Is 5 cents yeah. a good deal?
I remember I first read the word neurotic. As a child, Lucy was listening to a recording of Georgie Porgy Puddin' and Pie, Kiss the Girls That Made Him Cry, and she, the last panel, she says, well, boy, what a neurotic he must have been. And I either had to look it up or ask my parents or something. I mean, that was way before Woody Allen.
And he was, Charles M. Schulz was a hockey fanatic. Didn't he actually have like an Olympic-sized rink built on his property at home?
Oh yes, yes, yes. It exists. It very much exists in Santa Rosa, California, and you can go visit it. And across the street is the Charles Schulz Museum, which is fantastic.
Have you not been there, Bill?
I've never been there. I want to go. I got to go at some point.
You really should. It first of all, it's beautifully designed.
Yeah.
And you just they rotate out the shows of all the original art, with different themes. Like the seasons, or when I was there researching the book, the theme was political activism, which he didn't fancy himself as doing much of that. But then the evidence was there, and that's where I saw the letters about Franklin.
Wow. It's so funny to me that, that Christmas special, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, is such a perennial classic, and everybody at the network was nervous about it, and they weren't happy with it when it was done, but it's really become such a big part of Christmas.
It's such a fantastic story to read about that special for so many reasons. I mean, first of all, they finally got the go-ahead from the network in August, and they had to deliver it in December.
Yeah.
Which is just insane. Mm-hmm. But then Schulz and his producer, I think it was Lee Mendelson, they made all these decisions that in retrospect make perfect sense, but that the network was freaking out about, but they used actual children, not actors, to do the voices. There's no laugh track. And the end is just the speech from the Bible with silence. And, they were getting all this, Schulz was getting all this pushback on it. And he was very obstinate and said, it's my way or the highway. And I think it was CBS. I think they threw up their hands and said, okay, fine, you know, we're just going to write this off. And
look,
you know,
what they created.
Look what happened. I mean, it's an amazing film.
Yep.
I mean,
it's no doubt about it.
I remember showing my kids it for the first time, and I hadn't seen it in years. I'll be honest with you, until I had kids. And then hearing that silence was almost deafening to me after what you were used to. And then you realized how great it was.
Yep.
Yeah. What did your kids think?
They love it. They love Batman, too. I got to be honest with you, Chip. I was more impressed with all your art titles and all your novel, like Jurassic Park and The Lost World. I'm not a big Batman fan. I appreciate him and think he's great, but I think your artwork speaks for itself as well.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Go see Chip Kidd. He's appearing at the Printers Row Lit Fest this upcoming Saturday, the 11th, at the Harold Washington Library Center's multi-purpose room. Starts at 11, ends at 11:45
It's in the multi-purpose room.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want there. It's multi-purpose. ChipKidd.com is his website. PrintersRowLitFest.org is their website. Visit either or. Chip, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, too. Thank you.
All right.
I hope to see a lot of people on Saturday.
I hope so. You deserve it. That's Chip Kidd, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN.